welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where information is exchanged with the expectation that it is to be applied. I am your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com, as well as co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Now let's dive into a discussion that can help you help yourself. Again, this is the Family Alpha Podcast. Now let's get to work. Of the Morning Brew with Hunter Drew. I'm your host, Hunter. I'm joined today by two men who don't really need an introduction, but if this is your first time watching The Morning Brew, you've got 29 episodes to catch up on, and we can introduce these two men. Jeff Putnam, Craig James, multiple guests, both FOE men, men I've gone back and forth with quite a bit, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. We've been bouncing back and forth for a while. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Before we went live, we've got a pretty solid topic today. But before we do that, I wanted to do a quick update on where you guys have been, because a lot of things have been going on in both of your lives, and not just, you know, in fatherhood and with your family, the things you're achieving, but the brands and the businesses that you guys are running. So, Jeff, let's start with you. How is the Kickstarter and everything going?
It's going good, man. I got a final stretch goal of 3,500. I think last night I was at 2,977. Nine days. Yeah.
Dude, you messaged me and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to break 700. Like, it was some low number. I'm like, dude, you don't have any idea how much people support what it is you're doing.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like that imposter syndrome that it was hard to believe people really supported that much. But, yeah, I got a new line of products coming out. I think it's 17 altogether. We've got a special in tribute to Roman McClay, Sanction Edition Beard Balm. It's going to be badass. It smells like you just walked onto a friggin' sailing ship. So it's a kind of an homage to Moby Dick and Roman and everything he's contributed to the literary world. There's lip balms. I got two shower packs that'll have beard wash and conditioner and body wash, some sea salt scrubs. Got some ladies' body lotion and ladies' hair oils. Beard oils finally coming out.
That's just a healthy line, man. So
yeah, it's stacked. I was talking to Western Mastery yesterday, and he was like, "I would never try to launch that much at once."
I was just gonna say, like, you kept going. I thought you were gonna stop after like balm. You're like, nope, showers, oils, all these other things.
Yeah,
I want to bring something up before we went live. Jeff said I was a brown paper bag away from looking like an alcoholic right now because of the stubble, and I'm just rocking the hoodie. So I shaved. I'm doing a year's growth of the beard. But there are definitely phases during that process where it's just not the best look. So right now I just look like I'm lazy, but it is what it is, man. In a year from now, we're going to look back and be like, hey, nice beard. As Jeff shows off his silhouette. That wasn't subtle. I know what the hell you're doing. Yeah, no. looking at a bird. Okay. You're there stroking your chin.
I'm watching two squirrels chase each other around this tree over here.
I got the impression you were like pondering the meaning of life or something with that look on your face.
No. Trying to figure out whether or not these things are going to jump on me. Things are huge.
You're taking the mic away from Jeff. Craig, how you doing, man?
Well, I want to give it back to Jeff real quick. I want to hear you say this because I don't remember exactly what it was. What was your original goal with the Kickstarter and kind of how did that play out? And as you answer, I'm going to go ahead and spread some Rugged Legacy Solid Cologne Outlaw scent on my person. To get ready for my day and watch my testosterone levels rise a little bit as we get this thing kicked off.
You're seeing it live.
Yeah. Well, as you apply that, right now at this exact moment, women are ovulating everywhere.
Absolutely. I think my wife is watching this as well. She's, you know, probably tingling a little bit.
There's
a disturbance in the force.
She's currently pregnant.
it's a miracle.
But no, the original Kickstarter goal was just to finance the product labels for, I believe it was only 8 or 9 new products. It was just $750. And then that was fully funded in 2 hours. And I was like, holy shit. So I called my designer back and I was like, hey, we can go much bigger. And so it expanded into, went from 8 to 17 products and a new custom WordPress website with some, hopefully a digital magazine I'm going to be able to send out to potential wholesalers where they can order sample kits. and then get into places like Duluth Trading Company, Whole Foods, Mass General. 2020 is all going to be about a brick and mortar penetration. So
it's awesome, man. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I don't think a lot of people appreciate kind of where you started and then where you ended up in terms of your goal and how that just got stretched over time. And not to be too overt with the plug of FOE, but you know, the few guys who have run these kind of Kickstarters every single time, the men in there step up, they support their own, and the goals that they originally set for themselves are always just smashed into oblivion by the time those things are done. And so just really an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, it really is, man.
We don't mess around. People don't realize that. It's one of those you try not to talk about it because it's, oh, you're just supporting your own thing. Like, no. Like, you're if you write a book in there, you do a Kickstarter or something, they got you back. It's pretty cool. You, man, Adam Lane Smith, we've had a few. Nate?
I mean, look at Roman. Roman got, I think, the number one spot in literature on Amazon when Sanctuary.
How cool is that? Yeah.
That's great, man. And that's a tough category. I mean, it's not like, you know, some small niche on Amazon. I mean, that's a there's a lot of competition there.
Yeah, I think I saw the numbers, and it was like 477th in Geno fiction, or whatever the hell that is. And then there was like 137 in dystopian fiction, and then number one in literature. It's like, holy shit.
The hardest one is the one you're doing the best in. And the right? Super niched one, you're getting your ass kicked by 476 other people.
Right.
Like, how does that happen? But I mean, that's exactly like the power of the community. You spread the word, and then that spark becomes a fire. And speaking of having a lot of competition, do you know how many podcasts are out there? There's like hundreds of thousands. And you know who is?
I would say more than that.
And you know who's making a pretty solid dent in that group and closing in on 100,000 downloads?
That guy.
Boom.
I'm getting close, man. Here, let's check the stats here. We're going to hit this thing very, very quickly. So I'm getting, what we got? 98,144. So less than 2,000. Hunter, you and I recorded a podcast last night that I am extremely excited to get out to the world, man. It was I think it was the best discussion I've had on a podcast. And it maybe not from a performance standpoint. I may have had some better performances. You may have had some better performances. But the content and the wisdom and the actionable advice that we went through last night, I mean, it was so organic and it just flowed. You know, I had a series of questions lined out for us to cover. I think we covered maybe half of them. But what we covered was even better. And I really look forward to seeing the impact that has on the lives of fathers who listen to that. So the topic is, you know, raising children as excellent fathers. And so I, again, really look forward to that. I'm not going to release another episode after that one until we hit that 100,000 download mark, because I want our podcast to be the one that hits that milestone. So really looking forward to that.
So cool. But yeah. Hey, everybody in the room knows Ryan Mickler. A few months ago, he hit 1 million downloads, and he's only been running his for 4 years. How long have you been using yours?
Well, three, but I did take about a year off to join Hunter and doing the Family Alpha. Right. He is, dude, he's a beast, and he is consistent. I've said this in a previous podcast that I recorded talking about this, is that, you know, the numbers that I have are actually very modest because, you know, with the you know, I'll use some excuses here with the job and you know, a lot of other things that are vying for my time. I haven't been as consistent with the podcast as I'd like to. I'm now making it more of a priority to where I'm putting out at least one episode a week, and the numbers are jumping as a result. And Ryan, man, that guy's been doing at least one, and maybe even two, for years, every single week for years. And that does pay dividends, man. When you are consistent, you're getting those reps in. And your followers know they're going to keep getting content from you, and they're soaking it up and they're sharing it. That makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. Nick and I, Nick Lowry of Ground Shark Coffee, who's a sponsor of this show, along with myself, by the way, he and I sat down with Ryan Mickler July. It was in July. We sat down with him on the Unemployables podcast, and we talked a lot about, you know, what he's been able to build in such a short amount of time, because I followed him from the get. And you're absolutely right. He's been 100% just on point and consistent, just creating an avalanche out of snowflakes.
He has, man. I love Ryan. I actually was wearing an Order of Man shirt last night when we were recording our podcast.
I came so close to saying something so many times because it had the Order of Man here, and then right behind you was the FOE. I was like, you're rocking the tribes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love supporting what other men are doing, man. I mean, other guys would look at that and be like, oh, you're supporting the competition. No, I'm not. I mean, what Ryan has is Ryan's. The guys that connect with him are going to go into his tribe. The guys that connect with me and Hunter are going to come into this tribe and into the FOE tribe, and that's fine. I have no problem supporting what Ryan's doing because he's helping men be better men, and that is my mission. And if there's another man who is helping to do what I'm trying to do, I have nothing but love for him. I'm going to support what they're doing, and you know, Jesus said it well. He said, you know, if they're not against us, they're for us. So if he's for us, then I'm gonna support everything that he's doing and do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I mean, there's no competition. Nobody can out Ryan Mickler, Ryan Mickler. Nobody can out Hunter Drew, Hunter Drew, except maybe Bearded Hunter Drew. No one can out Craig James, Craig James, and no one can out Rugged Legacy, me. You know, there's no competition. There's enough. You know, and if we're all pulling in the same direction, it's not really a competition. It's just an amalgamation of tribes pulling off for one common goal.
In the chat, Steele said, you know, what a day. And it had me reflecting, you know, as you guys are speaking. And I appreciate you guys taking point on this because I'm struggling to speak and not cough. So it made me think of, you know, what is the end goal? The end goal is not to be the only group out there and you've killed all the other groups. Like, it's like, no, for a bunch of groups to be kicking ass and doing great things. Like, the goal is not total world domination via FOE. You know, that's just not how it's going to work. And that's A, not reasonable. And B, how boring would that be at some point? You're like, look, I want to be sharpening. I want to compete. Like, I would love if we could get, like, the strong men of Elliot Hulse's group, the Order of Men, the FOE men, and have, like, an Olympics. Like, the online tribes, we all come together and just compete in, you know, healthy banter to keep ourselves sharp, keep ourselves strong, keep ourselves, you know, squared away. That'd be a lot of fun. And honestly, we should probably make that happen. So
yeah, that'd be
great. Heard it here. It's going to happen. We're going to be bringing it. Or a Spartan race. Yeah. Like a team Spartan race. And we all meet up and go, you know, somewhere, and then just, we're all rocking our shit. Dude, I have this whole thing in my head now. So
I was thinking more of like a heist or something, but I mean,
you know, if you get caught, you lose.
Spartan race works, I guess.
It's a good second.
Maybe like, you know, back in college, since we're FOE in fraternity, in the fraternity I was in, you know, we'd go to the sorority house and do a panty raid. You know, maybe we could do something like that, see which brotherhood can bring back the most feminine apparel.
Killed it. Sorry. Yeah. I can't speak.
Well,
we're going to shift a little to the topic.
He's not even sick. His mouth just doesn't want to move because it doesn't have a beard on it.
It's different weight. It's like trying to run too fast. I keep smacking myself in the face. Listen, you brought up a great point. You had watched a movie, and I'm going to let you kind of take point and explain it because I've never seen it. But the theme of the movie, I know very well. I've seen it in others, and I want to address it because that is the point of everything we do. And I've said it almost every episode I've had. Take what you hear and apply it. Don't sit and waste an hour watching the morning brew and then go on your workday doing nothing. Like, you got to learn from what you're doing here. And then, all right, I'm going to change this in my life. I'm going to try to do that. Or maybe you just change your perspective. So maybe now you're a little less competition averse or risk averse. You're like, all right, cool. It's okay to have other people that are doing the same thing. You know, you do you. Jeff, what the hell movie was that?
Yeah. So it's been out for a little while. And I've seen it a couple times. But I think last night when I watched it, it just kind of hit on some different points, because since the last time I've watched it, I've joined the FOE, started a company, started really kind of stepping up, and it kind of drew some parallels. It's called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. It's a Ben Stiller movie. It's kind of comedic, but it's got a really good kind of a theme with it. Basically, Ben Stiller works for this magazine in New York, and they're being acquired by another company. They're going completely online. They're not going to be in print anymore. And he's just been this office jockey for ever, you know, developing the pictures for the cover. And he had big dreams when he was a kid, but his dad died and he had to wise up, get a job, help his mom. And so he spends every day missing out on real life because he just zones out into these extremely elaborate daydreams. And then he snaps back too, and he's just staring at a wall in front of a coffee pot while people are throwing paper clips at him. Well, one of the field photographers, who was played by Sean Penn, is kind of like his point of Ben Stiller is basically his point of contact while he's out in the mountains and God knows where. And he says, hey, since we're doing the last cover, I sent you a really special picture. It's frame number 25 on the negative roll. Well, he can't find it, and it's not in the roll. Where 25 is, there's a gap, and it's missing. And so he has to stop daydreaming and hop on a plane and go trekking across Greenland and Iceland and Afghanistan and Yemen, all through these different places, and actually starts living and doing some really cool shit. Because his biggest thing was he was on like eHarmony or something. And on the been there, done that section, it was blank because he hadn't been anywhere. He hadn't done anything. But as the movie progresses and he goes through, he daydreams less because he's actually doing shit. You know, he doesn't think it'd be so cool to swoop in and get the girl or to save the kitten from the fire or whatever. No, he's not zoning out pretending he's this noteworthy person. He's living a life that is noteworthy. And I thought about it afterwards, and I'm sitting there on the porch smoking my pipe, and I just kept thinking about it over and over and over. And that's kind of what a lot of men are doing right now. You know, you had a kid when you were 17, so you couldn't go backpacking through Europe. You had to wise up, go get your job at Papa John's and start supporting your family. And now you're just, your life's like we talked about before on our morning brew. Your life is now a series of paychecks and you're not doing anything, but you sit on that couch hating yourself and daydreaming about, you know, what might've been. And I was that guy. I mean, shit, I was just happy to not be homeless any fucking more. And so I fell into the routine of, hey, I'm just going to work this factory job forever. It's not glamorous, but my family's secure. And I sat there and daydreamed and daydreamed and daydreamed about all the cool shit that I wanted to do that I probably wouldn't get a chance to. And now I'm living that. I stopped daydreaming. I started moving and making things happen because I said, like Hunter's favorite phrase in the world, I had a case of the fuck it's one day and said, I'm just going to do it. And so now, I've got all these amazing opportunities. I've connected with all these amazing people, and I spend a whole lot less time daydreaming. And I think that's something that parallels into the lives of a lot of men today, is they're hating themselves for what they might have been, but they don't realize there's still time to be. And they can change that.
A huge point, and that's exactly what I was about to add to it, is they think that the window has closed. Like, oh, I'm too old to go do the thing. I'm too established. I'm in too safe of a spot. I'm too close to retirement, you know, whatever it is. And it's almost like a defense mechanism, because it's like, I want to be the guy who says he wants the thing, but not the guy who actually goes and gets the thing, because what if I fail? You know, what if I try and it doesn't work, and then it ruins the whole daydream? You know, your whole, like, everybody has like, oh, I want to marry the supermodel. You know, somebody is so sick of that supermodel shit. Like, she's just another woman. But until you have it and experience it, you get to keep thinking of this fantasy world where things are perfect. And these guys think, I want to start a business, or I want to do this, I want to do that. But they never do it. And it stays like this thing. And there'll be an old man saying, I once had this great idea. Come on now. We're living in an age where you can make anything. It is at the tip of your fingers. You can make money tapping keyboards now. You know, you can. There's so much money to be made. There's so many networks to be made, relationships to be had, experiences to be had. You know, we're having a conversation live with 13 men or women watching. We're all in three different geographical locations, and this is going to go out to the world and be able to be viewed by thousands. That is insane. That is fucking insane. And I'm not worried about monetization because I always screw it up. So just let it fly, boys.
Jeff screwed it up for you a minute ago. I think more insidious than that too is, and I haven't seen the movie, Jeff, so I don't know if this plays into it at all. I'm sure there's probably at least an element. Maybe it's more implied, implicit than it is explicit. But what I see, the kind of man that you're describing, and I've been that man before earlier in life, where you know, you have these aspirations, these visions, these things that you want to accomplish, these ideas in your head. And instead of putting your hand to the plow instead of making them reality. You just sit and stew on them, or maybe you just put them aside because you don't think you have what it takes. You're not willing to put forth the effort. There's some element of self-sabotage there. Well, what happens there? And this ties into a lot of the points that I like to reiterate to men on Twitter and, you know, inside of FOE and otherwise on a regular basis, that when you snuff that out, if you live inside of your head, you're living this daydream and you're thinking about the things that you want to do as a man, you're thinking about the things that you need to say, you're thinking about the way that you need to be leading better, maybe leading yourself or even leading others, and you just push that aside and you don't take action on those convictions, that damages your conscience. It truly screws with a man in a way that I don't think we can truly appreciate to its full extent. You know, we see men living with so much anxiety and depression and just meaningless existences today, and all that ties into it. You know, you have these thoughts and these daydreams, and yes, there is a place for taking a measured approach to things, but to just have those things going through your head and have these desires and convictions to do nothing to act on them, it's cognitive dissonance, and it will plague a man who continues to live out his life in that manner.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think one of the great things that about that movie was, in the end, he still didn't have his job. The job still was taken over, went fully online. No need for him anymore. But that says a lot about life too. It might not work out exactly the way you planned it or exactly the way you wanted it, but an inch up is up. You know, so I mean, he still went and did things and saw things and became a little more self-confident, because what makes you more confident than taking a longboard downhill running from a friggin' volcano in Iceland because you're trying to find your photographer? You know,
absolutely.
You know, nothing works out the way you expect it to. I mean, shit, Rugged Legacy was going to be a soap business. And here I am.
Yeah, that's so, a really good point.
I was going to say, I want to stay on this for a little bit, but once in 8 minutes at 8:30, we're halfway mark of the show, we're going to shift over to actionable advice and just straight up, here's how you start. Here's how you get it going. Because I think there are a lot of people on here who want to do the thing, or people who are going to find this and they're going to be like, all right, I want to tell me, like, how do I have an experience? I've never had one up to this point. But before we dive into that, I do kind of want to come back to, when you have this vision in your head as to what you want to do, you have to start doing. That's the only way to know what it's going to look like and stop planning it. I don't remember if it was you and I, Jeff, but we were talking about how it might have been Nate, that instead of putting 10,000 hours into market research, just put 1,000 in, have a game plan, but then put something on the market. And once it's on there, your customers will tell you, hey, this works, this doesn't work. Similar to Craig and I with FOE, when we first launched it, it wasn't perfect. But we didn't wait. We're like, hey, here's something. And then the guys came in and told us everything wrong with it. All right, here's all the fixes. Next iteration. And we're continuously trying to raise that bar. But if we waited for perfection, it never would have happened. So the biggest hurdle most people have is to stop thinking about it and just go do. I've never been on that adventure. Cool. Get in your car today and this weekend, go drive to a town you've never been to and start eating at places you've never been at and hiking places you've never hiked before. That will make that weekend one you remember 6 months from now. Most people can't remember anything they did for the past 52 weekends because it was all the same. They stayed in their local area. They drank their local beers. They watched the normal shows. They did nothing out of routine, nothing out of the norm. And it's insane because that's a life of redundancy without progress.
Yep. You know, you and I talked about that exact same thing on our morning brew. All you remember are, hey, this kid graduated, or, you know, I watched this Super Bowl, or, you know, we had a barbecue in the backyard, but everything else just runs together. I mean, shit, you're working a 9-to-5. I don't even remember what day it is half the time, because it's all the same. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't have to go to work today. Okay, cool. And nobody can remember anything if it's all the same. You'd have to do something different. You know, you have to break the cycle of the routine.
I like, Craig has a great story about Disney.
Yeah. I guess that's you wanting me to tell it, but yes. That's how
I introduced that.
Absolutely. When was this? I guess it was March. I think it was the first minute of March that you were doing on the Family Alpha. And there's a day inside of the 31 Days to Masculinity program. I don't remember which day it is, but it's a little bit into maybe a week or so in. And that's the challenge for the day is check out the book, by the way. Go to Amazon, 31 Days to Masculinity. There's a day in there where that's the goal. That's the challenge is go do something outside of the norm. Go out there, make a memory, and do something that you haven't done before. Be spontaneous. And so my wife and I had been talking about taking the kids to Disney. And we hadn't really gotten too far down the path of making those plans. And like I said, this is March, and so we're out to dinner one night, having a margarita at one of local Mexican restaurants, and it's a Saturday evening. I think it was about 8 o'clock at night, and we're looking. And I hadn't was what I had done for the. I surprised my wife with dinner. Like I just said, hey, let's get in the car, let's go get some food, and so we went to dinner, something a little bit different. Took the kids. And so we're sitting there and looking at options for flights in September. So this is, you know, several months away. And we're looking at these flights and, you know, we're trying to keep it a little bit hushed because we don't really want the kids to know exactly what we're planning and kind of surprise them with a little bit. And we're looking at things and I start looking at my calendar at work. And I'm like, man, I'm actually kind of in between projects right now. It actually wouldn't be the worst thing to go next week. So I was like, Christy, do we have maybe some options to get a cheap flight at the last minute? You know, maybe a plane has some seats available and we can get a last minute deal. And she looks and, well, first she's a little bit resistant, right? She's like, yeah, I don't think we can just go right now. And at the time she was homeschooling our kids, so work for her wasn't an issue. And so she's like, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of short notice. I'm like, well, let's look. So we look, there's no flights, nothing. I mean, the only thing available were super expensive flights down to Orlando. And you know, I'm pondering it. I'm like, man, I'm like, this would just be the perfect opportunity to do something just completely crazy and spontaneous. And I'm like, why don't we just drive? She's like, drive like in September. And I'm like, no, like now, like let's go home, pack up the car, roll down to Disney. And she's like, no, we can't do that. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, you got to work. And I'm like, I'll text the boss. I'm sure he'll be cool with it. And I'm like, I'm in between projects and have some vacation to burn. And she's like, no, we can't do that. It's too short a notice. I'm like, no, let's do it. And she's resistant. Well, then the kids hear what we're talking about. And so we're in the middle of this Mexican restaurant and the kids are all like banging their forks on the table, like going, having this like Disney chant, like Disney. And so, you know, that kind of softened my wife's heart a little bit. And got to finish those margaritas and went home, packed up the car. By 9:30 p.m. we were on the road, drove for about 5 hours, hit a hotel, finished the drive the next day. And the whole way down there, I hope Christy is watching this because I think this is a very fond memory of hers. Because afterwards, a point I want to make is the whole way down there, she's sitting there kind of stressing a little bit. You know, we don't have hotel rooms. We don't have anything planned. We don't have tickets for anything, right? And she's doing her magic on the phone and getting all that stuff squared away. And in that moment, she was very stressed out. And we're working through all that as we're going through that 15-hour drive. Well, we got back, and she has said multiple times how great that trip was and how exciting that was to just kind of pack up and go on the spur of the moment. And I to this day think that of all the trips I've taken in my 37 years of life, you know, those that I've gone with my parents, my grandparents, and those I've taken my kids on, that one is the most memorable. And it really does speak to just being able to make a decision in the moment, be spontaneous, have some fun with life. Don't always get so bogged down into thinking about all the negative things that might happen. I mean, I actually, you know, had quite a bit of work to catch up on when I got back. I was in between projects, but I had a lot of closeout stuff to do from one that had just gotten done. And I could have used that as an excuse, or I could have said, you know, what will my boss think of me that I'm just going to pack up and leave on a moment's notice and take, you know, 7 days of vacation. But I didn't let that stop me because I knew that that was something that we wanted to do. And I thought that was a good opportunity to just take advantage of it, get up and go.
I mean, he's probably jealous. Like, dude, this guy just packs his kids. Hey, like we're going,
dude.
He probably wants that life.
You don't know how many women I heard say stuff to Christy about that when she would talk about that trip. And they'd be like, man, my husband would never do something like that. And it kind of made me feel good to hear that, you know, that I was a man that took some initiative and did what a lot of other guys wouldn't do.
Yeah, we did something kind of similar to that. They have this thing called, I think it's Atomic Days, where they open up the Trinity site, where they detonated the first atom bomb in New Mexico. And it's only free to go. It's only open twice a year because it's on Lysand's missile range, and they have to sanitize the area of sensitive information and projects and have a pre-route planned where you get escorted by the base police in like this long convoy. So we had already planned to do that. So we did. We walked through the big hole, and we realized that I probably shouldn't have been picking up those little rocks because they were radioactive and putting them in my pocket.
That explains a little bit.
Yeah. I was like, these are cool. Like, yeah, this is what happened to the sand when it blew up. I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. Put it in my pocket. Geiger counter is going off like crazy. But from the dude walking around, I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. But you know, I didn't bring – actually, I think I still brought some back. I just put them in the little ashtray in the car. But we left there out of a different way than we came in. And I saw a sign. It said Lincoln – like 60 miles this way. I wonder if that's the same Lincoln where Billy the Kid and, you know, the Regulator Wars took place. And my wife's like, yeah, let's go. So instead of going home, we just turned and went to Lincoln. And we drove through. We saw the Lincoln County Courthouse where Billy the Kid escaped, John Tunstall's store. John Tunstall and Doc Sweeney are buried in the back. We saw their graves. It was really cool. We spent a whole day there doing that. And then the next day, or that right when we got ready to leave, we're on our way back, and I saw another exit. It said Roswell, 70 miles this way. Well, shit, let's go to Roswell now. So we ended up driving to Roswell, trying to go to the crash site and hit the UFO museum. You know, we probably turned what was going to be a 3-hour event into like a 19-hour event. And the very next weekend, we were so hooked on it, we just jumped into the freaking car, drove all the way to Tombstone, Arizona. We got there at like 7 in the morning, and we left at 1 o'clock the next morning just having fun in Tombstone. And it's still something we talk about. It was fun.
You know, it's the theme of both of yours is instead of looking for why you couldn't do something, you looked at what you could do. So maybe that's one of the biggest takeaways is fixing men's default. Stop defaulting to no. Stop defaulting to can't. Stop defaulting to not practical. Stop defaulting to can't afford. Start finding ways to make it happen. Default to yes. I will do this. I don't know how. I'll figure it out when I get there. It's whatever. And it doesn't have to be some expensive thing. You know, going for a hike, going to see a radioactive thing, you know, going, having an experience. And that kind of plays to your point too, Craig. You know, as we get older, we have less new experiences. Because we've already done the thing. We've already experienced like the gamut of vacation, of loss, of growth, all these things, you know? So when you do something that's out of the norm, it's a whole new, like you're an adult and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like for Christy, she's like, we're just going, we have no idea. We always plan things. This isn't planned. We always have, you know, like the tickets bought in advance. They're not this time. That's new for her. That's exhilarating. Cause even that nervousness is excitement. It's like, wow, I'm learning something new. I'm feeling something new. This is great. And as we know, you know, feeling is something so many people don't do. So many people are just numb. They're just in constant state of mediocre existence. Not high, not low, just in the middle.
It's true. I do think one aspect that holds a lot of men back as well, going back to this idea of daydreaming and just kind of thinking about all the things that you want to do and never doing them. I also think that men today struggle a lot with focusing on the things that they've already done and kind of using that and holding that up as, you know, well, you know, I was the star quarterback in high school, and you know, they hold on to that, right? It's like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite kind of comes to mind, right?
Al Bundy.
Yeah, these guys.
Five touchdowns.
And that's it, right? They're like, well, I've had my glory and that's it. It's like, no, like that was one chapter in your life. Take that fuel, take the same energy that you applied in that situation and apply it to something new and different today. I mean, you're still the same man, right? You just allowed whatever forces that might have come into then and now to strip you of that masculine ambition that brought you to those heights. You need to reconnect with that, and that's why 31 Days to Masculinity is so powerful, because that is a tool that helps men do that. Yeah. I had no intention of plugging it, but I mean, it fits.
No, I'm just laughing at Hunter. He said I was broadcasting from Jumanji.
I saw that.
Great. That's freaking great.
You had like a pterodactyl flying behind you at one point. You know, for 31 DTM, that's specifically why each day there is a method to the madness. And no matter how people think, you know, it's just days, like, no, this book works. It freaking works. You know, we're talking about an adventure you went on while we were going through that campaign. And my wife, every time we go through it, she knows something comes down the pipeline. We remember those things. You know, it gives us purpose and good memories and things like that. Jeff, you said that you jumped in the car and you guys drove to Roswell. Did you mean to say you jumped in your minibus? Like, what the hell do you drive with all those kids?
No. We didn't take the kids.
Oh, okay. So you were in an actual car and not. How do you drive your family around?
I mean, we were in a minivan, but you got a Suburban over here and a Nissan over here.
So do you usually take two vehicles?
No. You know, with teenagers and their schedules, they rarely ever go anywhere with us.
Oh, so that brings it down. So you're usually packing five kids instead of the total nine.
Yeah.
So you have nine. You have nine kids. Man, that fits really well into this conversation.
Yeah, I've got nine. Two are adults, and one's graduating this year, one's graduating next year.
Did you see his tweet, Craig, where he's like, somebody said something about, like, oh, they can't do it. And he dropped, like, the ultimate, like, fuck you on them. He's like, what was it, Jeff? Like, the total breakdown of what you have going on?
Oh, it was Joe Hart. Had a really cool guy, by the way. He had said, you know, people talk about how they don't have time to do anything. And I'm like, well, I've got two companies, a 9-to-5, nine kids, one wife, one dog.
You know, this is an insane string of like reasons that it shouldn't be working, but it is.
I work 50 to 60 hours a week at my 9-to-5. I'm launching and I'm running a Kickstarter, launching 17 products, you know, keeping my dog alive, keeping my kids alive, spending time with my wife. And I've still got time to just sit and do nothing. So,
well, I mean, look at the nine kids to me. I mean, I don't know the backstory behind all of them, planned, unplanned, whatever. But, you know, at some point along that projection, I'm sure you figured out how that happened and you could have made the decision to say no more. Right. And you keep saying yes. You keep saying yes. You're bringing more progeny into your legacy.
We just kept opening dresser drawers and finding them.
That's it. The neighbors just dropped theirs off. Guys. Hey, you guys got it covered.
Like, I don't even know what that is. Okay.
Do you post pictures, man? I want to see a picture of your family, man. The whole gang.
Yeah, I've got some. I'll have to go through. I've got like 80 billion photographs on my phone. So
it's awesome, dude. You don't see families that big anymore today, man. I think that's really cool. It speaks a lot to you as a man.
It is 8:37. I want to shift gears a little bit. So if you're in the chat and you have a question, feel free to ask. We do have a question, and we'll get to that in a second. But now let's go to the literal black and white tangible efforts men can make, and women, anybody watching this can make. They want to start a podcast. So Craig, you know, we're going to dive on that one and have you just bullet point, like, hey, literally it's as simple as having a phone, and, you know, I'll let you run with that. And then Jeff, there are people that want to bring products to life, or they want to run a Kickstarter themselves. How did you go about it? Like, how did you get out of your own way? Before we do that, this question is freaking amazing. I'm going to throw it on the screen. Is it supposed to be selfish to achieve your dreams, and to what limit? And Craig and I were talking about that last night. You know, so let's say I was doing a podcast on a Saturday. I could be with my family. I could be putting everybody ahead of myself. But you have to develop you. You have to make yourself a priority. And there are some guys who take that to the extreme, to where the family doesn't even know them because they're so obsessed with work. Look at Steve Jobs. You know, I think his daughter hated him because he viewed her as an inconvenience because he loved Apple. And he was trying to build his dream. And look what he fucking made. It's incredible. At the cost of a family. So how do you balance this selfishness, you know, of pursuing your dream and leading your family and the responsibilities you have there? And Craig, I'll let you jump on this one first.
Okay. Yeah. And I would take exception a little bit to the preface of the question, in that, you know, is it supposed to be selfish? Selfish to what limit? I don't know that it has to be selfish. I think there's always an element of selfishness. Obviously, if it's your dream, it's your vision, that's something that you came up with because it's something that provides value to you. And I don't know who is a wise guy that posed the question. Yeah, wise. I don't know your situation. But for those who, I'm guessing you have a family, and that's why you asked that question, because that's always something, like Hunter said, that we struggle with as family men, is, you know, we have these visions, these dreams, these things that we're chasing. And, you know, Lord knows over the 12 years plus that I've been doing things online that are taking time away from Christy and my kids, you know, that's probably weighed on my wife a little bit. And I know it has. We've had this conversation. And for a lot of times, a lot of that time, there wasn't a lot of direct correlation in terms of the value that she was getting from that. You know, there was no monetary value that was coming in that was really upgrading our lifestyle to any significant degree. But I continued doing it because I wasn't necessarily doing it for the money. But that was something that would have provided value to her. And, you know, now I am making some money online. There is some value for her in that regard. And I think she also sees that me doing these things is part of what makes me a man. It is part of my desires, part of my mission, part of the things that I feel, like I talked about earlier, that I feel convicted and compelled to do. And for me to snuff that out and suppress that would cause very detrimental consequences in my own life. So even though she could look at it and say, you know, if Craig didn't spend all this time doing these podcasts and these videos, you know, he'd have so much more time for whatever, XYZ, me and the kids, you know, doing projects around the home. And over time, seeing what I'm doing, me communicating to her why I'm doing what I'm doing, seeing some results, even though they were very slow because I'm a slow learner and, you know, but I'm also stubborn and I stuck with it. So your mission doesn't have to be selfish in terms of it providing no value to those around you. So if you have a wife and kids, you know, Hunter and I talked about this last night. This podcast, I'm telling you, is fire when it comes out. You guys have to look forward to this. It's great. We talked about the need for a man to sit his wife and children down, or maybe not just sit them down, just in a normal conversation, explain why he's doing what he's doing, explain the value that it has to him, explain the value that it has to them. Your vision doesn't need to be totally selfish. Your vision can be, it is for you, but there is also benefit to your wife and kids. And I would actually go as far as to say that if you are married and you have children, your mission, your vision better include your wife and children, because if it doesn't, you aren't going to succeed. They need to play a part in that. They need to understand the value there. They need to support you. They are your tribe. If your tribe is not behind you, it's going to be a failed mission.
Jeff, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, there is a balance that you have to achieve, you know, between your mission and your family. And it's easier when, like Craig said, you include your family in your mission. But as far as the selfishness goes, can you imagine being a lifeguard if you didn't know how to swim, if you didn't train, you know, if you didn't work on the skills needed to be a good lifeguard? You know, if you're, they say in an airplane, you know, the oxygen mask come down, you put it on yourself first so you can help everybody else. Because if you're passed out, you're not going to be able to put anything, you know, the mask on your kids or your wife or whoever. So working on your mission, if it's a mission of value and it's something that is providing you with the skills and the confidence and the mindset to be a better you, which will benefit those you're protecting and providing for, I don't think that's actually selfish. You're doing it for them through you. You know, as far as, you know, taking time for yourself, I mean, if you're burnt out, what benefit are you to your kids and your wife if all they see is that guy who comes home from work and he's just stressed out and pissed off, never took any time to recharge, and then you tried to put on the scary smile face for your kids?
Well, and that's a part of it too, though. I mean, that you only find out how to balance when you go too far. You know, you're like, all right, I am burnt out, I am stressed. Time to reel it back. Now I go back. All right, now I'm too relaxed. I haven't put out as much content as I want to. Let's go back. And you just do this dance. You know, I've been writing since 2015 and I'm still working on that. I'm still finding that balance of, sometimes I get like consumed. I just want to write and record and write and record. And I'm like, I got to stop. Close the laptop, put the phone away, go out, play catch, you know, with the kid, or go for a run with them, you know, do something totally not work related. Again, in the podcast with Craig, we cover exactly that. Like, the more we keep talking about this, the more I'm realizing how much we actually spoke about last night, which is awesome.
That was a lot.
Sean has a question, and I'll dive on this one because it's kind of what we're talking about. Would you say that your vision, personally and professionally, with your family needs to be communicated regularly to the family? Yes. Like I said last night, Craig and I talked about how our kids and our wife know why we're doing what we're doing. They know why do I have to go to this 21 con trip? Why do I have to go to this FOE trip? You know, they understand the mission and they're all for it because they know, because they're included. If you're doing all the stuff and they're like, I don't know why you're doing this, they can't understand you. And that also robs them of the opportunity to develop that in themselves. How do they learn to pursue their missions? How do they learn to pursue their goals? You know, they saw their father do it. They saw him live and balance a family. Now they can do the same. I can do this, take care of myself and balance, you know, if they had a family or loved ones, whatever. Now, going into the literal aspect of this, let's say, and these are going to be quick answers because I have a bunch of questions for the two of you. So first, Jeff, if somebody wanted to start a blog and then start, you know, getting a Kickstarter going for a product they wanted to make, what are the bullet points of just how easy it is to do that?
Well, one, you can shoot me a DM and I'll walk you through it as best I can. But I reached out to this great wisdom-ridden thing called the internet.
Who knew?
Yeah, right? And everything you want to know is there. You just have to start applying it. I mean, you know, I wanted to start a business. So what did I do? I read 500 useless articles on how to start a business and applied information from the three useful ones. I mean, just plug and play. You know, if you start moving and you realize it's not going in the direction you want, you pivot a little bit and it's easier to change direction than it is to start. If you just start moving and you get the ball rolling a little bit and you realize, okay, this is working, well, you keep doing that. And if you realize it's not working, okay, don't do that no more. Do something else. But you're still moving and you can just kind of pivot the direction you're moving in just to see if, well, you know, what's going to catch traction and what's not. You know, with my Kickstarter, you know, Adam Smith had run two successful Kickstarters. So I reached out to him and said, hey, how do I do a Kickstarter? And he said, this, and this. Okay. So I got on the phone with him and he walked me through it in like 5 minutes. You know, if you want to have a product to bring to market, you know, it's, well, what do you want to sell? Okay. Who's it for? Okay. You know, you got those two things. How are you going to sell it? Are you going to sell it online? You're going to have a physical location, brick and mortar, or, you know, is it a physical product? Is it a digital product? Make the product first. You know, it's kind of like what you were talking about with steel. You know, don't do 10 million hours of market research because all that's useless. You know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So make the product. Say, hi, I made this thing. It's $27. Please buy it now. You know
how much it would have sucked? So Craig literally built FOE in 2 weeks. It would have sucked ass if we had taken 6 months to build it and then brought it out and everybody's like, this sucks. You know, I'm glad it was like so quick because like, all right, I don't like this color. I don't like the layout of that. All right, cool. Easy fix. It took us 2 weeks to make this. Craig, let's say there's somebody who has a podcast and they're only getting like 1 to 2 views on each one. What would your advice be?
The biggest way that I found to grow a podcast, so I know different people have different formats that they want to follow, and I suppose it depends on what the goal is. And based on your question, the goal is to get more listens. The best way that I know to do that is bring people on your podcast that have an audience. Bring people on your podcast that have a bigger audience than you. If you're just getting started out, you got a Twitter account and you got 10 followers. You know, again, you're recording these podcasts, they get 1 or 2 listens because people just don't know you yet. They haven't been exposed to your message. I asked a guy many years ago when I was doing blogging in the fitness niche. I said, what's the best advice you could give on how to grow your brand in terms of a personal blog? And he said, be everywhere. And I give you the same advice. If you're trying to build an audience with a podcast, be everywhere. Reach out to others who have a message that fits with whatever your mission is with the podcast. Find those who have larger audiences than you. You're probably going to get a lot of silence when you reach out to people. That's fine. Don't let that perturb you. You know, when I started my podcast, I feel like I was pretty lucky in terms of, or maybe not lucky, but fortunate in terms of the relationships that I built fairly quickly. You know, guys like Ed Lattimore, AJ Cortez, these guys who did have an audience, and they're good dudes. So they were willing to come on a guy's podcast that wasn't really established yet. You will find those men. You will find, or maybe women. I don't know who you bring on your podcast, right? You'll find those people. And but you need to plug away. You know, there were a lot of people that I reached out to. I reached out to Mike Cernovich. I reached out to Jocko. I reached out to I think Ryan Mickler even early on. And you know, I didn't get a response right away. That's fine. You keep plugging. You find those, and it only takes one or two. Like my first, I don't know, 10 podcasts were just me talking, and they were getting 20, 30, 40, whatever downloads.
Who was your first guest?
My first guest was the esteemed Hunter Drew, and when he came on, so. That was huge, though. When that podcast that we did together far exceeded all the others, because I think at that time you probably had a Twitter following of 2,000 or 3,000, and I was like at 500, and so you had 6 times the following I had. So when I'm usually sharing things, it was getting not near the exposure that it was once you came on and you were sharing it with your audience, and then you know other people saw you sharing it. So then the guys who you were connected with, like the Ed Lattimores and the AJ Cortezes and the Tanner Guzzies,
50,000.
They took notice, right? Yeah, these guys who have, you know, 20,000, they took notice. Hey, you know, Hunter was on this guy's podcast. You know, maybe I'll give it a go, and it just organically grows from there. So yeah, the best advice is find those who have a greater following than you, who also are in a similar niche, and get them on your podcast, and because they will share it. The other thing that's big is that will help your blog as well. So. You know, Rolo came on my podcast a couple of times. His blog is a very popular blog. And so when he came on my podcast and he posted about it on his blog and linked to my blog, I got a huge boost in my organic search traffic, because Google saw this high authority site in the men's space linking to me. So all of these things really just compound. But always, yeah, if you can find those who are further along, higher up in the authority in the niche that you're working in, and develop. That's another big thing, man. You're developing these relationships. I can reach out to Ed Lattimore right now, and he'll come on the podcast without any question, because I now know Ed. We have that relationship, and now he's got, I don't even know what the guy's got, 100,000 followers or something.
Yeah, he's cruising to 100.
Yeah, so you're developing these relationships, and you guys are growing together. I mean, just like I said with you, man, you're at, what are you at, 25,000 almost?
I went down. I was at 24, and I'm at 23.
Man, it's that election season. They're suppressing the masculine voices, I think.
Holding me down.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that's the best advice I can give. And you have to connect. I don't care what business you're in. You know, people want to get online, and they think, well, I have a blog, so I'm just going to sit in my little silo and type away on my keyboard, and that's it. No, I mean, you can do that, but there is no business in life that you can go at it alone and achieve optimal results. You have to network. You have to find men who have achieved what you want to achieve. You have to learn from others and get support from them. And there are so many men. You mentioned it earlier, Hunter, the opportunities available. There's so many men out there who are willing to help. Jeff just said it. DM me. I'll help you. He didn't ask for any money. He didn't ask for anything. He said, DM me. I'll help you. I've done that with so many men, and there's so many men out there who would be willing to help you as well. But they're not going to be willing to help you unless they see you being willing to help yourself. And that goes back to that topic of taking action. You need to be getting out there, doing something, and men will take note, and they'll be willing to help you when you need a helping hand.
Yeah. I mean, I did the same thing with Hunter and I connected. I was just this random dude that sent him a DM going, hey, which logo do you like better?
Seriously. That's how it started. Hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's find out. What do I think about this? And all of a sudden, Rugged Legacy is like, pow, a thing. We have a hard stop at 09. It is. At 09, we've got a hard stop. That is, I love the product placement there.
By the way, that Outlaw is going to be renamed. It's coming back out. It's off the site right now. It is coming out as Six Gun Cologne.
My favorite is actually the Savage. I got Outlaw and Savage. I like Savage a little better, but I hadn't wore Outlaw for a little bit, so thought I'd go with that this morning.
Yeah, I've got Savage on right now.
I like the grind.
Of course you do. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Jeff, closing statement. Where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @rugged_legacy. The official is @rugged_legacy_. You can find me on Instagram @rugged_legacy_grooming. Sign up to the mailing list. It's right there at the top of my website, ruggedlegacygrooming.com. Big letters is sign up. Throw your email into the field, hit submit.
There's a reason he's being so literal with this.
There's a very good reason I'm being so literal with this. I've had people ask me, where can I sign up to your email? Right there on the site where it says sign up. But yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. Rugged Legacy Grooming @Rugged Legacy. just anything Rugged Legacy, you'll find me.
And the Unemployables.
And the Unemployables. I saw CJ throwing
it. Good job, CJ.
Unemployables.co. You'll find me, Dan Kosmala, and Nick Lowry, ready and willing to mentor young and old upcoming entrepreneurs, walk them through the process and the pains of everything we've already gone through in developing a business. So you can check that out at unemployables.co.
I'm hoping to make it to my next appearance on Unemployables, which requires me to not have to get a 9-to-5 in the next 3 months. They got me on day one, and they said the next one will be 6 months after that. I'm trying not to cough. So I've made it three. We're getting there. Craig, final closing statement, and where can people find you?
So first, Hunter, it'll help you to get a return appearance on the Unemployables if you can make sure your affiliate link to the Rugged Legacy product line is proper.
Damn it. But, you know, I thought we'd make it through the episode without that coming up.
We got it fixed, though, right? You're good.
We're good. I'm going to update a few links. So people watching this, the links, I'm going to add a few more like to Unemployables and whatnot.
Yeah, I could rant on taking action all day, but I will just rant quickly about what we see with Jeff. Jeff took action. He created a product. And I don't even know which one came first, the Rugged Legacy or the Unemployables. But that action is addictive. That once you get out of that rut, you stop sitting on your butt, playing video games, looking at porn, watching sports all day because you feel like you have nothing better to do and you're suppressing the desires that you have. That is addictive. It is contagious. You will start to feel that masculine fire burn within you, that ambition that you have to do something to change the world and to change those of the lives around you that you are touching and your sphere of influence. So take action, do something. Jeff said it very well. I love the quote. I think it was from Mike Tyson. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You will encounter challenges. Just expect that. That doesn't mean your plan was bad. That just means you didn't know what you didn't know, and nobody knows everything. Nobody can foresee every obstacle that's going to come along as you take action. But once you do, that is addictive. It's motivating. It's just like when you start going to the gym. It sucks at first, and now a day without training just doesn't feel right to me. I have to work out my body, and that's the same thing with taking action in any endeavor. Where you can find me, the podcast, Masculine by Design Mancast. You can find that on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, probably a few others. Again, getting close to 100,000 downloads. The episode with Hunter that we recorded last night is going to be out very soon, hopefully before the end of today. You definitely want to look out for that. I'm excited to share that. The blog is masculinebydesign.com. I'm on Twitter at masculinedesign, and all three of us are inside of the Fraternity of Excellence. These are conversations. If you've enjoyed this conversation, these are the kind of conversations we have all the time. It's on every topic of what it means to be a man. It's marriage. It's fatherhood. It's building businesses. There are partnerships being forged inside of the Fraternity of Excellence. We care about our own. The men who are in there, we know that they are driven. They're ambitious. They're willing to do the work. And so the men inside there are willing to help their own. They're willing to help the man who's willing to help himself. So that's something that you need, you don't have. Check out Fraternity of Excellence. That's at fraternityofexcellence.com. Hunter, thank you so much for having me on this morning, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for making the time. You guys, you always are there when needed, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you
know, I always love coming back.
It's easy to help. So I guess this is my final remark. It's easy to help people who are helping themselves, like Craig just said. If you are trying to get something going, and I go to your site, and I see you're consistently showing up, putting in the reps, and like it just hasn't caught yet, I will bend over backwards to help you. But if you come to me and you are just saying, I want this, and you have a big following, so give me this. Like, go away. I will literally just ignore you. I'll read, like, no. You're not even worth responding to because you're not trying to put in the reps. You just want it handed. And success is not handed to you. It's earned.
Yeah, clout fishing doesn't work.
And it's so obvious, too. Like, I know what you're doing. You keep tagging me in all these threads. Like, you stop.
Yeah, I get that a lot, which is weird. I'm like, I'm not that big of a deal. You know, I see people tag me in random stuff. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know.
For everybody that tuned in, thank you for supporting. And again, I look forward to delivering more quality content in the next foreseeable future, which is Monday. So I'll see you Monday.